Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome to On Fire to Inspire with your host, Miss On Fire to Inspire herself, Aaliyah Butler. I want to thank you so much for stopping in tonight and taking time out of your busy schedule to join us on the platform. I'm telling you, you're going to be so glad you did. I tell you each and every week, it's time to stop existing, stop settling, and start living the life you were created to live. So tonight, I tell you, you are going to be excited. It's going to be just like Elizabeth hearing Mary's voice where her baby leaped in her belly. Your belly, your baby's going to leap in your belly because it's time for you to stop sitting on your gifts. It's time to stop sitting on your passions and sitting on your purpose, and it's time to walk in it. We're going to share with you our sponsors tonight. Our sponsors are Evangelist Alexandra Townsend, author of Experiencing the Greatness of God in the Spiritual Realm, Third Heaven Sound, It's Not Just Music, It's a Sound, Unique Expression by Design. They're your one-stop shop for anything promotional and customizable. They got you. They can do T-shirts. Anything that can be done, they do it. And then also Roz Hair and Beauty Bar, specializing in natural hair, twists, lock maintenance, braids, sew-ins, and much more, located on 138 in Conyers, Georgia. Well, we are back. Tonight's topic is turning your passion into your profession. And I tell you, if you do that, you'll never feel like you're worth a day in your life because you're living what you love doing. So without further ado, I would love to welcome our guest, Mr. C. Nathaniel Brown. Welcome, 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 Mr. Nathaniel. How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for having me.
Great, great. And I tell you, Nathaniel is also known as Chuck. So we're going to call him Chuck from here forward. So you don't get confused. It's still the same person. So tell us, who is C. Nathaniel Brown? Tell us a little about who Chuck Brown is.
Well, I'm just an average guy from Baltimore, Maryland, who grew up to live his dreams. That's what I say. I am a husband, a father of two, and a grandfather of one. I am a writer, a publisher, an inspirational and motivational speaker, an author coach, and a filmmaker, in addition to about 20 other titles that I could go over, but we're going to keep it short right now. So I am all of that wrapped up into one little ball of energy, just trying to live my dreams and help others live their dreams.
Amen. A man after my own heart. I tell you, when you realize it's about pursuing your passions and your purpose, but at the same time helping others do the same, it's just an effortless thing, and you're just like so energized by being able to do it, you know, being able to be you. So I tell you, I just love it. I love it. So Chuck, what motivated you to turn your passion into your profession? What was your motivation?
Well, I knew from the time I was a young boy that writing was going to be a part of who I was moving forward, and I'm talking about 4 or 5 years old from that time. I knew that writing would play a part in my life. And so as I grew, of course, we change and we get involved in other things. And I wanted to be a football player. I wanted to be a basketball player. I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be this. I wanted to be that. And so our desires, our wants, our interests, they change from time to time. But there was something about the writing that was consistent throughout all of that. And I knew that some way I would make a living from writing. I didn't know how. People discouraged me from it. People tried to talk me out of it. They didn't understand why this kid wanted to be a writer. But it was just something that was deep down inside of me that eventually evolved into me figuring out ways to make money from it. And it was a process, and it was a journey just like it is with anything else. But it was one that I enjoyed because I was discovering more of who I was, and I was expressing myself, and I was sharing my voice. So that was the beginning for me, just realizing that was the very first thing I said I wanted to be when I grew up, and that throughout my life there was that common thread of writing, even when I changed other things, because I had finally found my voice, and that was through writing.
Amen, amen. You found your voice through writing. And it's funny how you can say, I wrote, but I found my voice. That's
right.
Funny. But it's the truth. It is.
Yeah,
so
you know, it's
true.
Funny because I grew up in a house full of women. And, you know, my grandmother, my mother, my aunts, my cousins, it was, you know, primarily women all around me. And so, you know, it was mm-hmm. hard for me to get a word in. So I'd have to go off into a corner and write something and be like, slam it on the table like I'm fussing, like, hey, I got a voice too. And so I joke about that sometimes, but it was actually, you know, partly the case. I wasn't one to voice my opinion a lot or stand up and yell or scream or whatever. I would just go off mm-hmm. into a corner and I would just begin to write. And that was my way of expressing myself. I could cuss you out in a letter. But I couldn't say anything out of my mouth. I would write a poem. I can express my love in a poem, but I couldn't say I love you face-to-face with someone. So for me, it was really finding out who I was through the pen. And it helped evolve into who I am today, being able to now verbally communicate the same way that I can on paper. But it was such a process for me to be able to get my thoughts and ideas across, both creatively, and then just being able to express my feelings and opinions.
You know, and that is so true. It is so true that a lot of times, even though you may have been the only man in the household, there are so many people that don't know how to communicate and express their feelings verbally, and that may not have been their background, but they still don't know how to communicate. And so with that being, you know, one of the things that people deal with, how would you help someone that you're, you know, speaking to, or an audience that you're speaking to, that don't know how to find their voice? How do you work with someone to help them first find their voice before they can turn their passion into a profession?
Absolutely. You know, the first thing that I tell them is that they have to tap in inside, you know, because mm-hmm. their voice is already there. They just have to mm-hmm. find that voice and find out who they are through that voice. And, you know, there are a number of activities that I do with my clients, both my writing clients and then just life coaching clients, if you will. I don't like to call it that per se, but that's mm-hmm. what I do. I help them get on track. I kind of call mm-hmm. it shift coaching since, you know, I have mm-hmm. this shift movement that I'm doing, but just helping people mm-hmm. to shift their ideas and their thoughts to really achieve the desired result that they want. And if it's discovering your voice, sometimes you have to get in touch with your feelings. You have to get in touch mm-hmm. with your concerns. You have to get in touch with your fears to be able to break loose of that hold that's on you. Otherwise, you won't mm-hmm. be able to move forward. There's no way that you're going to really tap into your interest or your passion to be able to make money from it or to make a living from it. So I just help people with a number of exercises, just really looking at themselves. I help people mm-hmm. develop their vision statements and mission statements. That also mm-hmm. helps that voice to come out, to be mm-hmm. able to say, this is who I am. This is what my vision is. This is what my mission is. And then it's easier mm-hmm. to follow that up. For me personally, mm-hmm. I have a personal vision statement, and that statement is to be an example of Christ in season and in word and in deed, to be able to help people to dream bigger, live their dreams, and impact their world. And so I incorporate that into me speaking my voice. If I'm able to tell you that, then I can follow that up with something else. And so sometimes all it takes is being able to write down your thoughts, write down your vision, mm-hmm. write down your mm-hmm. goals, and then you can begin to act on it because you're discovering now, this is who I am, this is where I am, this is what I want, this is how I'm going to get there. Mm-hmm. And so it's a process that you have to take, but the key is to get started. And so that's the thing that I try to do in most cases, just to really inspire, motivate, and empower people to take that step mm-hmm. and continue in the process.
Amen, amen. I tell you, it's a powerful thing to write things. I tell people, I don't call myself, I used to call myself, I said I missed my call, I'm not supposed to be a counselor, but I call myself an empowerment coach. And, you know, I help empower people to push them into what they're supposed to be doing and not just sitting. And like you said, writing things down, that is so powerful. In Habakkuk 2:2, it's talking about writing the vision and make it plain. Because once you see it and you keep looking at it and looking at it and you start visualizing it, you can see it happen before it really happens. Don't you agree?
Right. Yes, and it's a constant reminder. Some people do post-it notes. I have post-it notes all around my computer. It's kind of like a frame around my computer with just different messages. You know, just looking at it, because I'm looking at my computer right now, I have on there a couple of dates that are key dates. I have on there a couple of goals for the week. I have on there my list of media sources that I want to be in 2016. So these things are constant reminders to me. So I write these things down so that I can have them and I can constantly look at it and say, okay, what am I doing today that's going to get me closer to that goal of being in Ebony Magazine or being on the Steve Harvey Show or whatever that particular thing is. But when I write it, that's writing the vision. That's making it plain so that I can follow it. You know, just as the word says. And any opportunity that you can, whether you have a vision board or whether you have a sticker on your bathroom mirror, on my bathroom mirror, it says, be the change you want to see in the world, which is a quote by Gandhi. And that's on my mirror in the bathroom. So every time I go into the bathroom and I look at that mirror and I'm looking at myself, I'm looking at the change that I want to see in the world, and that changes me.
I love it. I love it. One of the things that I have in my office is a little vision board, like a small one, to where I have it on my wall, and I see the words that stand out. Reinvent yourself. I see dream. I see thrive. I see purpose. And those are the things that I want to see for myself and I want to see for others whose lives that I come in contact with and I touch. I want them to have focus. I want them to shine. All of those things are there, and then many of the things that you just talked about. That's even pictures of that, you know, ebony and all of those things. How do you feel about affirmations?
I think they are fantastic. You know, especially if that's part of your routine, that's going to keep you encouraged and motivated and keep you moving forward. Then by all means, do it. If you've never done it and you're wondering what it's like, try it because it might be the best thing that's ever happened to you, and it might be the thing that pushed you to that next level. I don't do them on a regular basis as some people do on a daily basis, but I incorporate it into my regular routine. So for me, it's the same as looking at that quote across the mirror. It's the same as looking into the mirror and saying, I am the change that I want to see in the world. So that is an affirmation of me repeating that particular quote. But some people have different versions for themselves. They might have an affirmation about how their day is going to go, about their job, about the week, about finances. But what you have to do is you have to find what works for you and then work it. You know, one of my distant mentors said, you know, if you have a principle, the principle works even when you don't. So once you find something that works, you keep doing that principle, because even when you're tired and you don't want to do it, the principle is still working for you. And that's not only a practical principle, but that's also a spiritual principle. That's also a business principle and finance principle. So you find the principle that works for you, and you keep working it.
I love it. I love it. I wrote a lot of different affirmations and things as I was journaling last year, and I actually ended up just writing a book, and I entitled it Prayers, Affirmations, and Declarations. And since so many people are ebook driven right now, it's only available through the ebook. But there are different little prayers that, you know, little short prayers that they can read, help them pick them up whatever it is they're going through, or an affirmation to command some things over their day, command some things over their life, and just break up whatever it is that's not positive and take you into that place where you're supposed to be and not where you are. And so I love things like that. You need to make sure you're surrounding yourself with positive people. Make sure you're walking with people who are trying to walk, not pay, you know, with people who are a sail. But when you put the thing on the boat, an anchor. Don't want someone that's going to be like an anchor. Yeah, you don't want the anchor mentality. You want people that are moving, you know.
That's right.
So yes. Well, we're going to pause real quickly for our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Is alcoholism or drug addiction destroying your family? Discover how my youngest son defeated alcoholism in 2012 through the greatness of God. This is a life-changing read. Get your copy of Experiencing the Greatness of God in the Spiritual Realm by Alexandra Townsend at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or BooksAMillion.com. Get your copy today. It is a life-changing read.
Did you know you don't need life insurance? No, you don't. Only your family does. If your family, your spouse, your children, if they depend upon your income to survive, then you owe it to them to make sure they're provided for no matter what. It could happen, you know. Happens every day. Call Mary Hayes with Primerica at area code 219-775-0197. That's again Mary Hayes with Primerica at 219-775-0197 to see how easily and affordably you can insure your family. Make sure you mention that you heard it on Fire to Inspire.
We thank each and every one of our sponsors every month that support us, Evangelist Alexandra Townsend, Third Heaven Sound, Unique Expression by Design, and Rise Hair and Beauty Bar. They are supportive sponsors that we thank God for each and every month. Well, we are back to On Fire to Inspire with our special guest tonight, Mr. C. Nathaniel Brown, better known as Chuck. And he is just really, really sharing some things with us about turning your passion into your profession, because that's what he did with his life. So we're back with him. And Chuck, this topic, what does this topic mean to you?
Well, it's definitely about that whole discovery process of who you are and what you want. And for a lot of people, working a regular job is the only way they know. And for me, it was discovering the things that I really want and then figuring out how to get those things based on who I am. So it was taking a deep look into my soul, and that's what I try to get people to do, because you really can't have a passion or discover your passion until you really figure out who you are, what you like, what do you want to do. And that was the process that I took. And as I mentioned, writing was a key thing for me. So I had to start thinking about what areas of writing am I going to try to pursue, because you can do a million things. And that's one of the things that people don't understand a lot, is that if you have an interest in something or a topic or, you know, some hobby or talent or something like that, it's not just a single lane. There are multiple lanes that you can go down with it. And for me, it was about really discovering who I was and which areas I wanted to go in. And I try to help people to do the same thing, because what it does is it gets you in touch with your happy, with your authentic self, so that you can wake up in the morning and be excited about life, not dread going to work for somebody else necessarily. I'm not saying that that's a bad thing, but for a lot of people, they can't find where they want to be in life, so they're just following other people's plans for them, allowing other people to dictate what success is to them. Discovering too late that you should have done something 20, 25 years ago. So I try to get people to tap into that early, as I did. Mm-hmm. You know, my path might have taken so many different turns, which is normal, but mm-hmm. I discovered that, and then I pursued it. And so I try to help people to do the same thing.
I like what you said. You said I discovered it, and then I pursued it. Because many, yes. many people don't know what it is, you know, what their purpose is. I remember they were getting ready to do a big layoff at one of the huge companies that I was an assistant manager with. And they said, I was going around and I was asking people, I was like, so what do you want to be when you grow up? And these people were like 10 years older than I was, you know. And I'm like, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And they were saying stuff like, I don't know. And so you are talking to people that were in their 40s, some even 50, that had no clue what they were going to do beyond where they were. You know I was burnt out with IT, and I had done it for so long, and some of them just had no clue what they were going to do. They were going to go look for another job. I said, what do you enjoy doing? Many couldn't tell me what they knew, what they enjoyed doing. So,
yeah.
you know.
And you have a lot of that right now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at older ages and people that are 5 years away from retiring with a watch from their company that they've been with for 25 years. And you can ask them, well, how was that for you? It's just mm-hmm. a job, and I'm excited to be retiring. Now what? You know, so one of the things that I always tell people is that where you are now is not where you're going to be. So how are you mm-hmm. going to get to where you want to be? And that's when you're 18, mm-hmm. that's when you're 25, that's when you're 30, that's when you're 40, that's when you're 50. It really doesn't matter because you're still here and you're still living. You know, in my book, Shift Happens, Then You Live, you know, I talk about the five P's to take control of shift. And you mentioned earlier when I talked about pursuing it, you know, one of the mm-hmm. things that I wrote about in there, well, I'll give you all five of them just so you know, mm-hmm. but the key to taking control of shift or taking control of your life is really being able to profess and proclaim who you are and what you want. And then the second part of that is planning it. The third part is preparing, because there is a difference between planning and preparing for those who don't know. And then you want to pursue it. And then once you pursue it, then you produce. So you want to proclaim and profess it. You want to plan for it, you want to prepare for it, you want to pursue it, and then you want to produce it. And so that should be a recipe for taking control of every area of your life. Assess the situation and then speak it into existence. Like, say I am a writer, and then mm-hmm. pursue it, plan it and pursue it, and then produce it. Mm-hmm. So that means ultimately you said that you're a writer. At some point, uh-huh. you got to figure out, what does that mean to me to be a writer? And then you have to start writing.
Uh-huh.
You'll be where you said from the beginning. But it's that process that you want to commit to and just jump right in it and stick to it until you get to that destination that you've identified for yourself.
Amen. I love it. You said that you have a book entitled, what's the title of your book again, sir?
It's called Shift Happens, Then You Live, and the subtitle is Take Control of Your Life and Win. It's a two-book series, two books in a series right now. It's the main book, and then I have a 30-day prayer companion that basically takes a lot of the topics and principles that I deal with in the main book, and then it provides scripture, journal space, as well as questions for you to ask yourself on things such as releasing dead weight. We talked a little bit about that, those people that hold you down, mm-hmm. you know, the haters in your life. We talk about
right.
finances and business. And so we add scripture to it as well to be able to help people not just understand mm-hmm. some things, but then to package mm-hmm. that with prayer to make it happen.
Mm-hmm. Love it. It's definitely my kind of book. All right. Now, You came across some stumbling blocks. We talked about people that were dead weight. We talked about, you know, people who would try to be dream killers. What are some of the things that try to distract you or try to, you know, hinder you as you walk towards fulfilling your purpose and your passion?
I don't think you have enough time in a show for that. you know, really is what I call good nouns and bad nouns. And if you remember back in your elementary days and some kind of way, you probably still have your notes from that. But a noun is a person, place, thing, or idea. And so I call things good nouns and bad nouns. And so you have those positive things that are those good people, those good places, those good things, those good ideas. And then you have those bad ones on the other side. So those would be your haters. Those would be the people that sabotage you or try to sabotage you. Those people that, that want to weigh you down or talk about you, discourage you. Anytime you would bring up a good idea or something that you were going to pursue, as we talked about professing and proclaiming something, and they would be the first one to say, really? You don't have any experience. Why do you think you're able to do that? Who in your family has done that? And so those are some of the things that I faced growing up. I had nobody in my, no male in my family had ever graduated high school. So when I graduated high school, it was a big deal. No one expected anything more from me because that was more than any other male in my family had done. Nobody left home. So I left Baltimore because I knew there were bigger and better things for me. Nobody in my family had done that before. Nobody had, you know, graduated college, started a business, all of those things. So I had a lot of naysayers and haters in my ear saying, you can't do this. Why do you think you're able to do that? What do you mean you're going to write a book? What do you mean you're going to start a business? What do you mean you're going to teach people? What do you mean you're going to train people? So I had all of that in my ear. Then you run up into the other problems. You run into finances when your vision is so big that you say, well, how am I going to get this done? Then you have doubt. You start thinking, you know, that doubt starts entering in, and we know that doubt cancels out faith. So when doubt starts coming in, then you start losing that faith to do it. So all of these things come into play, money, people, places. Like, okay, I'm living in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. How am I going to do these things when there aren't media and entertainment centers like there are in New York or L.A.? So you got to move to a place that can accommodate that. You have to remove those issues out of your way, remove those excuses, and just make it happen. So whatever you have to do, get rid of the naysayers. Shut these people out. Get new friends. Get mentors. And combat everything that comes up against you. And that's what I had to do step by step. And truth be told, I'm doing it on a daily basis. Because as long as you're doing something for God, as long as you're progressing, as long as you have a vision, you're always going to get an attack from the enemy.
That is so funny. That is so funny. But it's so true. So very true. so very true. So the five P's to taking control of every area of your life, is that something that you taught your clients with as you're helping them figure out who they are? And once they figure out who they are, what your why is about the whole situation, you know?
Absolutely. And that's the key in everything is your why. You know, just talking about, you know, well, I would say that's the second key. The first one is discovering who you are and then finding out your why or your purpose. Because once you have those two, nothing can stop you. No one can stop you. You're set from there. Nobody can come to me right now and tell me that I'm not something that I am. Because I know it. I'm confident in it. And I walk in it on a daily basis. So you can't come to me and say, hey, Chuck, you're not a writer. Well, I published 8 books. Oh, Chuck, you're not a publisher. I have 17 writers that are part of the publishing company. Oh, Chuck, you're not a speaker. I just did a conference with a group of young men in college. So any of the things that I proclaim that I am because I discovered who I am and I'm walking in it, and it's based on my why, and that goes back to my vision statement that I mentioned before. I know who I am. and I know mm-hmm. what my vision is. I know what God has called me to do, and now I'm mm-hmm. walking it out. I'm walking in it daily. And even though I haven't reached some of the places that even I desire, so I know that I haven't reached all of the places that he desires for me, but the thing is, mm-hmm. I'm on that path, and I'm walking it out every day, every single day. So I might have to look at that post-it note again. It's like, okay, what did I forget today? Okay, because I don't feel like I'm a little bit closer. Okay, did I put this on the calendar? Did I make those 10 mm-hmm. phone calls that I supposed to make to get me a step closer? So I know that I mm-hmm. have to do everything that I'm supposed to do because of who I am mm-hmm. and because of my why. And so I try to do that on a personal basis because everybody is at a different place in their process. Everybody's mm-hmm. process is different. So some of the things yeah. that I've gone through, other people might not have gone through or might not have to go mm-hmm. through. But there are some things right. that I can share based on my experiences that will help somebody else. And so that's what I try to do when I help them discover who they are, what that vision is mm-hmm. and their mission statement, and their why. Because that's critical mm-hmm. in determining how you're going to turn that thing that helps you define who you are into dollars, into a business, mm-hmm. into success, into mm-hmm. a legacy for your family. So all of those things yeah. are important. But, yes, like you said, you have to know your why. You have to know your purpose for being here.
I love it. I love it. So how can someone purchase Shift Happens, Then You Live, the 30-Day Prayer Companion? How can they purchase that book?
Well, the best way to do it is to go to my website, which is www.cnathanielbrown.com, and that's the letter C, NathanielBrown.com. Or, of course, mm-hmm. you can search on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any of those places. But if you go directly to the website, you'll be able to see my social media links on there as well. You can leave me a message directly through the contact page, and all of the books are listed on there as well. And then the other website is the publishing website, which is ex3books.com, and you'll be able to see some of the other writers that I work with and some of their projects as well as my books too.
Okay. Now, you said you've published 8 books now. Tell us some of the titles of the others.
Sure. My very first book is called I Always Put the Seat Down, and that is a collection of poems, and a lot of them are based on that being raised with a lot of women. So they taught me mm-hmm. early to put the seat down. So that was my first book. Then I also have Devil in the Mirror, Overcoming the Enemy's Attack, which really mm-hmm. dealt with a process that I went through when I had to look into that mirror that I was telling you about earlier and really seeing mm-hmm. some things that didn't look like me and they didn't look like God mm-hmm. and they looked more like the devil. And so I knew that I had to take care of some work to get better at being who God wanted me to be. I also mm-hmm. have a book called Making Wings, and then I have a writing book called The Business of My Book, and this book helps writers to understand more information about actually the business side of writing, mm-hmm. such as copywriting, marketing and promotion, public relations, some of those mm-hmm. things. And then I have a book called X's, O's, and W's, which is a more than 100 basketball coaches in one book, and they're talking about faith, family, character, work ethic, and something else that I'm missing. But it's 5 topics within this book. It's 100 basketball coaches from little league mm-hmm. coaches all the way up to the professional ranks, and we call it the mm-hmm. greatest collection of basketball coaches ever in one book. So I just have some different books on different topics. Have a few more that we're working on now. We're going to be releasing one in the spring called From Where I'm Standing, which is basically young African-American males talking about their perspective of America and how they plan to improve it. So we have a lot of great things in store for the upcoming year.
Amen. And I love the fact that you say we a lot. You know, you don't just say I, you say we. And so
yes.
I love that. I love that because you're always talking about pouring into someone and sowing into someone. Now, your social media handles, how would they be able to follow you? How would they be able to follow you and things of that nature? Who, you know, where are you? Where? How can we find you?
Everywhere. Probably too many places. If you simply go to any of the sites and just type in C. Nathaniel Brown, it is pretty much on all of the social media just like that. So Twitter, Instagram, all of those are just C. Nathaniel Brown all together. No spaces, no periods, or anything like that. Periscope as well. Pretty much all of them are just C. Nathaniel Brown. And I'm pretty active on a lot of them. It's just a way for me to keep in touch with fans, as well as offering writing tips and coaching messages. And I try to keep people informed about all of the things that are going on with the company, whether it's the writing, whether it's radio, whether it's filmmaking, whether it's the speaking, and just staying connected. Because, again, people need to see that other people are doing what they want to do and that other people are willing to help them get to that place as well.
Exactly. So if someone wanted to book you to come speak at an event, would they go to visit www.cnathanielbrown.com?
Yes. They can go right there. The speaking portion of the website is being updated, but you'll still be able to see some information there. And then, you know, there's a contact form. You can put a request right there, and my assistant or my manager will respond regarding the request. We are booking now for 2016. I can tell you that February is booking really fast because we're doing that anthology around African-American males, and so we're doing a lot of speaking engagements around that. So we're going to be including over 150 young African-American males in high school and college into this one anthology. So we're going to be going around speaking at those locations as well as doing writing conferences across the country. So we're having churches to book us, and we're coming in and teaching people how to write and publish. So we're doing some fantastic things, and I'm very excited about it. But, yeah, right through the website, you can send some information, send a request, and we'll get back in touch with you.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Well, you said we are going to be giving away a book or so on the show tonight. So let's open up the lines and get some feedback, and you can kind of decide how you want to do it. Have you thought about how you want to give away, do the giveaway?
I was leaving that up to you, but, you know, we can do it however you want to do it.
You're going to leave it up to me. Okay. Well, let's open the lines. Open the lines and get some feedback from our listeners. See if anyone has any questions, anyone have any comments. Press 1. You'll be live with Miss On Fire to Inspire and Chuck tonight. Go ahead and press 1. Don't be bashful because Chuck is giving away a book now. Y'all better press 1 and stop being bashful tonight. Okay, so you know what, Chuck, what we're going to do. The very first person to press, we're going to give them one, okay?
Okay, sounds good to me.
All right,
your friend from Kenya, I also want to send an e-book to her. I saw the post on in the page the other day, so I want to send an e-book to her as well, so I'll make sure that you get that information and you can forward it along to her.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, let's see here. You are live with Miss On Fire to Inspire. And Chuck, who do we have live with us tonight?
I just wanted, this is Sabrina. How you doing, guys?
Hi, Sabrina.
Hi, Sabrina.
I just wanted to say I've been listening to you guys for the last 30 minutes, and it's so inspiring to have a male's point of view on a few things that he addressed, and I just want to say that I have enjoyed the show tonight, and my blessings continue to flow in you, my brother, because you are definitely a positive role model for just not the black males, but just for all of us. So I want to say blessings to you, and I've enjoyed the show.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It means a lot.
Well, Mr.
You're
Brenner,
more than welcome.
You were the first one that pressed one that got the nerve up, so you won a book tonight from Mr. Chuck Brown.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited. And I have a son that I am going to share that book when he comes home for the holiday from college. So I'm excited about that. So I'm excited. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
Awesome. Just make sure I get your mailing address. You can send it through the website if you want, or if you can send it to me on social media, whatever way works best for you.
Okay. Thank you so much. You have a blessed night.
You too.
Thank you for listening, Sabrina.
You're welcome.
All right. Welcome to On Fire to Inspire. You are live with Miss On Fire to Inspire and Chuck. How are you tonight? Who do we have?
Hello?
Hello. Hi.
Is it me?
Yes, it's you.
Oh. You know what? Sabrina doesn't get to get that book because I pushed it first.
Y'all gonna fight over the book. Essentially giving out more than one.
You know what? I have a son, and I have immensely enjoyed this interview as well. I came in a little late. I realized, I said, I'm a little late. But when I tuned in, it was just on time, because when you were talking about having a vision and having people who are really on assignment to be your hater. We have people who are literally on assignment. And
yes,
you persevering and pushing through all of the obstacles, much like your story, the men not graduating, it was also true for my mother's sons. My brothers, very intelligent, very bright, but they did not complete high school. And my son, I told him, I said, it's not an option for you to follow suit. There's too much in you for you to start getting lax and for you to start getting, feeling like school is not, it's not the move. It's the move, because it's the only thing that's going to propel you forward, because it has to happen. It's not like 20 years ago where you could just drop out of school and become, you know, whatever. It is almost mandatory, if you're going to make it in this lifetime, that you get your education. And so for you to mention all of the obstacles that you overcame that was in your family line, how you overcame those obstacles, I commend you for pushing through and
thank you,
going through the process to become and do all the things that you've done. I find it very commendable, and I'm grateful that you did not listen to the naysayers, because who are they? And
right.
Absolutely. Yes, I'm very proud of you. My name is Isna. It's Isna.
I'm sorry, what is it again?
Isna, I-S-N-A.
Okay. Thank you so much for that. Let me say two things that you brought up, though. And I think this is going to be, it's probably not going to be any type of revelation to you. It might be some confirmation in a couple of areas. But
okay,
the two things that you brought up, one on the haters. I tell people all the time, don't get mad at haters for doing a good job of being who they are.
Exactly.
You just have to do a better job of being you. And that's where we miss the point. We spend our time judging, looking at, breaking down a hater more so than we are of doing what we're supposed to do. You can hate all you want. You can say whatever you want. You can do whatever you want. But I don't have time for that. I have a legacy to build. I have business to handle. I have lives to impact. So I stay focused on that. Now, I'll listen, but I'm not going to give it too much time. I need to know
exactly
what they're saying, because it might be a warning for me. So, you know, that's the first thing. Just kind of remember that, you know, hear what they're saying, see what they're talking about. You need to be in the know. That's a part of being wise. But then you spend your time, though, not dealing with that, because they are behind you and you're moving
that's
forward.
Right.
And so that's number one. The second thing with your son, I started shaking my head a little bit in both directions. I was like, yep. So here's what I want to say about that. Definitely continue to push him to get the education.
Mm-hmm.
But on top of that, push him to find out those areas of interest and develop them.
Okay.
So that he
and
doesn't
I have
feel like
to you right now.
That's awesome. Because you want to have that area of interest, that passion area. If that's not school, and if it's something else, still push to school, still do those interests, still pursue those things. So if you're in college and your major is math and your main interest in filmmaking, do some filmmaking studying on the side. Do it as a personal project. Watch YouTube videos until you learn what you want to learn. You know, get a secondhand camera and just experiment on some things. Never lose sight of your interests or your passions while you're doing other things that you have to do. Because what happens is you start resenting the one thing that people are pushing you to or saying, hey, follow this, you need to do this because this is the way of the world. And then you start resenting either them or that thing that they're pushing you to. So if you have a dual lane and say, okay, yes, I am pursuing this higher education, I'm going to get my degree, but I'm also going to pursue this thing that I love, that I enjoy, that makes me happy, and whether it's, you know, writing a book on the side or whether it's pursuing being an athletic trainer in addition to something else, you can still do that. You don't want to lose that passion because it'll make you burn out from everything else.
Well, I received that wholeheartedly. And he's in eighth grade, and he absolutely loves football. And unfortunately, and the fortunate and unfortunate part of this is they were undefeated, made to the playoffs, and I think they have, like, what, two more games. But I had to pull him. And I had to make a very tough decision only because, and I'm not trying to call him out, because I love him and he knows I'm in his corner and I'm his number one fan. But I had to pull him out of the playoffs because he's failing his courses. And there, his teachers are giving him an opportunity to make up what he did not do by a deadline. And football practices are like almost 3 hours after school, and by the time he would get home, he wouldn't have time to do all that. And so I was pretty much put between a rock and a hard place in that decision. But
no, you
weren't.
No, you weren't.
Okay.
You did the right thing.
Okay.
You did the exact – but the thing is, explain that. And let them know where that value and importance is, as I'm sure you've done, so that he's not resenting you, he's not resenting football and say, forget it. That's still a passion, that's still a love. But, yes, you have to take priority here in order to do the other things. And I'll give you an example when it comes to sports. I dreamt of playing in the NBA. I was going to be a professional basketball player. I stopped growing. My skills didn't develop. So quickly, that dream didn't come true. But I still loved basketball. I still loved the game, and I became the biggest fan of basketball because of my love for it. And I found another way to be around basketball and earn money by becoming a basketball coach and an athletic director. So had someone pushed me away from it or made me resent it or anything like that, it could have crushed everything. But as a way of me taking that passion and that interest and figuring out a way, okay, well, it's not going to be making $10 million a year in the NBA because I'm too short and my skills aren't that great as I thought they were in the backyard by myself, you know. So now what am I going to do with it, you know? So fortunately for me, I was able to find another way. But I maintain that interest in it. So that's what you want to do even while you're developing those good habits, those good values, that work ethic. You want to be able to instill that while instructing on everything else.
Yes. I so appreciate that. And as Sabrina, I'm going to have to piggyback off of Sabrina. I do appreciate this male input. Oftentimes as single moms, even though his dad is still in his life, sometimes being able to hear it from a different perspective other than in a parental role on how to kind of handle or look at it from a different perspective. And I appreciate that from you this evening. And I definitely want the book, and I would purchase the book, but I want it about I Put the Seat Down. That one right there, I'm working on still. But yeah,
you would appreciate the stories.
Pardon me?
I said you would appreciate the stories in it. You know, some of it is just like really light humor. That the particular poem with that title, I talk about a time where my cousin fell in, and that was the last time that I did it. So, you know, it's a way, again, of finding your passion and being able to enjoy it and have fun with it. And so I can switch from writing a light, funny poem to writing some deep, technical word from God to anything because that's my passion and I'm able to be flexible with it. And so that's why it's important to really, you know, find those areas of passion. And we're talking about your son right now, but we could very well be talking about you, like what that area of passion is for you and how are you using that to better yourself, to keep that pretty smile that you have right now on your face, how to maintain that even when there are haters, even when there are headaches on the job, even when there are, you know, illness and sickness and all the things that are going on in the world, your gifts, your passions, your talents, all of those things can keep you in a good, healthy place no matter what's going on around you.
I concur, and I am. I'm also a poet and an author, and Aaliyah is my friend as well. And so just to hear, you know, all the things that you're doing. I was just getting off the phone. That's why I was like, I was talking to my mentor. So even with you mentioning finding a mentor, that's what I was doing, was conversing with him and making sure that I stay in alignment with my vision and putting dates and putting ideas out there to help make manifest the things that I have on my vision board. So, yes, I don't want to monopolize the phone line. She's like, girl, this ain't no interview.
I think Aaliyah went to sleep on us or something.
I'm here. I'm here.
I'm sorry, Aaliyah. I'm sorry, sweetie. But I'm going to let other callers that are in queue ask their questions. I don't want them to lose their train of thought. But I so appreciate you for having this brother on the line tonight. Thank you for your obedience, Aaliyah, and continuing to do what you're doing and just bringing on the phenomenal guest that you are. So on that note, I'm going to be cognizant of the time and of others on the line. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thank you so much for tuning in. All right.
Okay.
I tell you, Chuck, I told you you have been a blessing tonight. It's an awesome, awesome thing to find people with like minds and like spirits. And they actually were the only two that I'm seeing that pressed that one. Did we have anyone else that wanted to speak with Chuck or myself? Oh, here we go. You are live on Fire to Inspire with Chuck and Aaliyah.
Hello.
Hi.
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 How are you?
Hello.
Hi, you're live with us. Who do we have?
Pixie.
Hi, Pixie. How are you?
I'm fine.
Great.
I just want to say he has done an awesome job. Very awesome one.
Yes.
Since I've been listening to your shows, I would say he's probably been more touching. Probably a lot of us. I did not graduate. There was six of us kids, and only I had one brother. And there was, I think, two that graduated. I had a sister that did not graduate, but she was an RN. She went to RN. First, she started out, she didn't have the money. She was a CNA, and she lived her dreams. But when she became an RN, she came down with lung cancer and passed away. But she did fulfill her dreams. With me, I always wanted to be an RN. I didn't graduate, but I did push myself to get my GED. I did go take the nursing class. I helped, took a footprint and put it under my leg. I didn't study for the test, but I was like the top two And how I done it was the grace of God. But I did, with my job, like you said, I was working for a doctor's office, and I was unable to finish the schooling, which was a LPN part-time class. So, you know, that was a dream I always wanted to do. Now I'm in finance, and you're talking about haters. I was the CEO of a company, acting CEO. One person started a lot of trouble, which knocked me down to general manager. The company is losing, but I am going to turn it around because I'm positive about it. I know I can do it. I know I'm the only one there that can do it because I have sat back and let them see if they could do it, and it's only losing. I have two autistic grandsons. I have one child. She's single. I have two autistic grandkids. They have motor skills and social skill problems. Very intelligent. One is a whiz on computers. The other one loves animals. They're highly intelligent, but they play soccer. My one grandson, I've seen him. I have pushed him. He knows he's different. But I do not want to see him fail. And, you know, I've told him, you know, he's constantly saying, you know, I don't do as well as others. And I'm like, well, you know, you will. You got to keep trying. Keep pushing. Keep pushing. You know, you got to know this. You think this when you hit the field. He started out, his feet was kind of outward, and he couldn't kick the ball. He just kind of stood there and flapped. He was five when he started, five or six. He's 11 now, and he's actually kicking the ball. He's playing Goldie. He's doing very well. His running skills is tremendously. You know, I think staying positive and, you know, me struggling through life and feeling like a failure, because I was the baby of the family, I think there was a lot of, which, you know, like I said, you know, I worked in nursing, I was an LMA, then I worked for a lawyer, which is a judge now, and then I went into finance, and immediately I went from assistant to a manager to district manager within probably 2 months. And then the company was turned over to me in 2 years. And I've been there 7.5 years, 8.5 years now, excuse me. But, you know, you're talking about haters. You know, I did let it really bothered me that people would do stuff, you know, to try to get your job. And, you know, I guess I'm at the point now that, you know, if I'm going to stay in this field, then I've got to let it go. And you was talking about spiritual. You know, I can do anything through God.
That's right. Anything.
And I tell myself that every day. I can do this. I can do this. I'm going to do this. I kind of, you know, I like the job. I'd rather had, you know, went to nursing school. I'm 53 years old. You kind of hit that while ago, and I thought, I might could do that part-time to get my nursing degree. Loved it. Loved it.
Absolutely. Yeah, the possibilities are still endless. Ms. Pixie, where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Winchester, Tennessee.
Okay. All right, great. You know, you touched on a couple of things, and I definitely, you know, would say the encouragement and support of the young people, they're really what's needed right now. I tell people all the time that, you know, this generation that we're in is without a lot of hope. And so we have to provide that hope every chance we get. Everywhere outside of us is telling us no, telling us we can't do it, telling us we shouldn't do it. Mm-hmm. It's a bad idea. So we need to hear that. Even at 53, even at 44, even at 30, we still need to hear that. We need that affirmation, that confirmation. It starts with us, but we still need that support around us. And so that we can say, yes, I can still do this. I can still make this happen. Like, I still have goals that I haven't achieved yet, and I'm 8 books in, but I have specific goals that I'm still working on as far as my writing and my books. So I've been doing it a long time. It'll be 20 years since I published my first book in 2016, and I'm still setting goals because people are still telling me, you can't do it. I'm like, I can't do it. I've done it 8 times, and you're still telling me I can't do it? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. You know, they are there. But every chance we get, let's hold each other up. Let's encourage each other. Let's say, hey, you know what? If you still want to be a nurse, you can still do it. Find out how to do it. Do that research. Take a class, you know. Sit in on a class. Do something to really figure out if this is where you want to be, if this is what you're doing. Because in the end, you want to spend your time living and not dying. And when you're not pursuing the things that make you happy, in effect, you're just dying. You're just waiting for the expiration date. So all along, you're just dying to get to that date. I want you to live every chance you get, every moment of your life. And you do that by being confident in who you are and really pursuing that happiness and that place to do whatever it is you want to do, big or small. If you want to write a bucket list, get a bucket list. You know, if you want to do something, you want to jump out of a plane, jump out of a plane. I'm not doing it. You're on your own there, but if that's what you want to do, by all means, do it. But find out those things that you want to pursue to make you happy and take steps. You don't have to do it like, oh, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to be a registered nurse. No, it's not going to work like that. But you can wake up tomorrow and say, I'm going to find out where there's a class that I can sit in on just so I can hear the information. Right. At the end of that class, you might want to say, hey, I want to find out what is it going to take for me to take one class. At the end of that one class, I want to find out what it's going to take for me to get 12 credits. And then you keep building, but all along you're living that process. You're living a dream, and that's what you need to do, and that's what we need to tell our young people. Say, okay, yeah, you made a mistake here. Yeah, you had to sit down for this. You had to get off the team here. You had to stop this. I had to take your cell phone. But look, this is not the end. I'm just trying to get you to the place where you're going to be happy and you're going to benefit. And you're going to look back and be like, I'm glad you did that. And that's what we need more of, one to another. So
see,
I was more of the type
that you were. I didn't speak out or anything. I was diagnosed with borderline diabetic when I started Head Start. And I was treated differently because I had to eat differently. And, you know, back in when I was in Head Start, you know, kids would make fun of you and, you know, wonder what was wrong with you. And, you know, they would, and they do my grandkids. But, you know, I let that set in my way until, in my childhood, I started having panic attacks when I was 19 years old. So I let that stop me from doing a lot of things because, oh, I'll panic if I do this, I'll panic if I do that. I still have panic attacks, and I work with a therapist. But, you know, listening to you, you know, you can overcome anything.
Absolutely.
It's just a dream. It's what you want to do.
Absolutely. I agree with that 100%. And if you don't know how to do it, figure it out. Find somebody who knows. Get a coach. Get a mentor. Get somebody that's gonna kind of pull you along or get you in that direction that you want to go. But you can absolutely do anything that you want to do. And that was what my mother told me, believe it or not, when I told her at 4 or 5 years old I wanted to be a writer. And she said, you can do and you can be anything that you want to be. You already have it in you. I don't know if she believed it. I don't know if she was just telling me to shut me up for a minute. But I believed it, and that was the thing that kind of turned it around for me. So I started believing things that no one else believed. I started seeing fairy tales. I started seeing visions and dreams. And at that point, I started talking about it or mm-hmm. writing about it and eventually started talking about it because mm-hmm. she said something to me. She said, you can. And I mm-hmm. believed her. Mm-hmm. So once we find that place in us to believe what it is that we want, believe who we are, then nothing is impossible. And that's what the Word of God says. With God, nothing is impossible.
Amen. Amen. You did a wonderful job.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, because, I mean, it touched me.
Thank you. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for talking, listening, Pixie. God bless you.
Thank you.
Chuck, I tell you, you've done a spectacular job tonight. Like I said, you're a man after my own heart. I just love being able to pour into people because that's who I am. And I love to see people living the life that God created them to live. You know,
absolutely.
It's time to start living. One of the things that I say all the time is, as long as there is breath in this body, there is purpose to fulfill. So whoever's listening, whether you're listening live or whether you're listening to a recording, as long as you are living, there's a purpose for your life. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're 53, 58, 63. It's time to live the life that God created for you. There's no age limit. There's no age maximum either. Oh, wow. I tell you, this has been such an amazing mm-hmm. show, and I'm getting chats and stuff already saying amazing. So, Chuck, you have anything else you want to leave with the listeners tonight?
Yeah, I just want the people to be what I call about time. And mm-hmm. when I say time, I break it down, use it as an acronym for transform, inspired, motivated, and empowered. So it's kind of one of those things that I say to myself, it's about time, it's about time, it's about time. And I tell that to people. So I want everybody that's listening to know that it's about time. It's about mm-hmm. time to be transformed. It's about time to be inspired. It's about time to be motivated. And it's about time to be empowered. And you put those things together and you can have the impact that you want to have in your life and everybody around you. And that's the key. It's like you have to have impact. And that's how you change the world. You start with your world personally, the world around you, and then it just expands as you go. So really concentrate on that, think about that, and really put those things together. And I really appreciate you taking the opportunity to have on the show. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the callers, those that didn't call in that's been sending messages and comments and things like that. Thank you guys so much. You are appreciated. And I look forward to hearing some of your stories.
Amen, amen. Well, thank you again for taking the time out to joining us because, like I said, you are very busy with your motivational speaking, your publishing company, your writing. So I truly, truly thank you for taking the time out to join us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, tune in each and every week to On Fire to Inspire, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I tell you, it's time to start living the life that God created for you. So it's time to turn your passions into your profession, just like our amazing guest, Chuck, did tonight. Despite what his background was and despite how he grew up, he said, I want to be this. And it came to pass. So start seeing it before it actually materializes. Start seeing it before it manifests. Start writing down what it is that you love, what it is. Start journaling, because as you're journaling, if you don't know what your purpose is, if you don't know what your passion is, it may come out in the journaling. So just start doing something daily. And if you know what your purpose is, I want you to write down some goals for yourself. And I want you to write things down daily. If you have to research, today is your day of research. Today is your day of brain dumping and brainstorming. It is time, like Chuck just said, time. I love that acronym he has. He said time stood for transformed, informed,
motivated and empowered. If you've done your research about what it is that you have in your heart to do, it's time to be transformed, informed, motivated, and empowered to live a life of purpose. Thank you again for tuning in to On Fire to Inspire. We love you. Tune in next week, each and every week at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. You all have a great night.
Yeah.